excited to be here. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers. Amen. Happy Father's Day. It's a joy being a father. I really enjoy being with my kids. And it's like the one time that you can get away with being silly and being goofy and doing all kind of silly and goofy things. Because like if it's just you and your wife trying to do the same things you do with your kids, you're just like, she's like, what are you doing? You know, and it just doesn't work, right? But like with kids, you know, you can be silly and you can be fun. So it's awesome being a father. And we honor you guys today. And so we started a new series, The Summer of Proverbs, and my wife talked about last week how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How many guys want to be wise in your life, right? You want to have wisdom. You want to walk in wisdom. So it begins with the fear of the Lord. Now, again, she clarified it wasn't the fact that we are terrified of him, but rather it's an awe and a respect for who he is. As children of God, you never have to be terrified of your father. Now, if you are not a child of God, you should be terrified of your heavenly father. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. And so wisdom, as we talked about, is a collection of wise sayings. It only becomes wisdom to your life if you take the wise sayings and apply them to your life, right? In other words, otherwise it's just knowledge. You can have a bunch of knowledge but not be wise. All right, so a good example of this. Yesterday I had an opportunity to go fishing, and I just need a fix every now and then. Anybody just need a fishing fix every now and then? You just have to get out in the water and just like throw your line. Some of the guys are like, yeah. The women are like, no, not really. But man, every now and then I just need a fishing fix. And so we were out there with my brother-in-law, my father-in-law, and we were fishing. And yeah, beforehand I had predetermined I'm going to use a plastic lure. That was my idea. I had caught fish in the past with this plastic lure, and so that's what I was going to use. Regardless of anything else, I'm going to use plastic. And they all tell me, hey, look, we got live bait and everything, and so, you know, you're welcome to it. You're welcome to use our live bait. But in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to use plastic, right? And so we get out there, and so we start throwing lines out, and I'm using my plastic lure, and throw it out there, and for sure, right, the fish want my plastic lure. And, man, I'm not getting anything. I'm like, not a single bite, nothing, you know? And all of a sudden, I turn around, and my sister-in-law, she just starts popping them in the boat, you know, like one after the other. I'm like, what is she doing? What is she doing different that I'm not doing, you know? And she's like, Ted, you need to switch to live bait right now. You need to put it on the cork and throw it out there. I'm like, man, I was determined, so determined to use this plastic lure, but she's catching fish. I'm like, well, you know what? Wisdom says you should be using live bait right now. That's what the fish are biting on, right? Live bait. And so I had to make a decision. Will I humble myself and put my plastic lures and back in my little tackle box and grab a line that's already ready to go and throw out and catch some fish? So I had a decision I was going to make. Was I going to walk in wisdom? Was I going to be a fool? So I made the wise decision, all right? I said, you know what? I want to catch fish. I'm out here to catch fish. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to suck it up. Apparently, she watches like YouTube videos on how to fish, and she asks all the fishermen what to do. I'm like, you know what? There's some wisdom there. I'm going to listen to wisdom. I'm going to apply wisdom to my life. And lo and behold, man, one after the other, pop, 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 pop. But there was someone else on the boat, and he was determined, I am not using plastic at all. I am not using plastic. I mean, I'm not using live bait at all. I'm just using only plastic. I mean, he's throwing plastic out there, and he's just working that plastic, and he didn't catch a single fish. He didn't bring a single fish into the boat. I mean, he goes, sometimes we need to humble ourselves, and we need to take in wisdom, and we need to apply it to our lives. And that's whenever it becomes wisdom to us, whenever we take the knowledge. We take the knowledge of the book of Proverbs and we apply it to our lives. That's when it becomes wisdom. Whenever we were growing up, before we were to catch the bus, she would read to us from Proverbs every single day. So like if it was January 1st, we were reading Proverbs 1, right? January 31st, we were reading Proverbs 31. And so we go through the whole entire month, and then we repeat it again and repeat it again and repeat it again. She poured into us godly wisdom. And I'm telling you, if you apply the knowledge that you learn from the book of Proverbs, your life will be so much better. Amen. Amen. And so we talked about last time in the video how Proverbs is not necessarily set in stone like a promise, like if you do this, it's going to happen. Because we know that sometimes there are exceptions. We know that sometimes there are things that go wrong. So what does that look like in our lives? Well, let's just say a father teaches his son how to drive. Anybody ever been in that situation before where you're like, okay, it's scary, right? It is scary getting behind the wheel with a young person who's never touched the wheel before in their entire life. You're like, what am I doing? You know, am I going to die? Is this the day I go see the Lord? But if, and so as a father, I give out instruction. I say, hey, look, I want you to watch what other people are doing. I want you to put your seatbelt on. I want you to obey all the traffic signs. I want you to pay attention to what everybody else is doing. I want you to look twice before you proceed on the highway. I want you to do all these things. Now, if the wise son is wise indeed and he applies the instruction, then it's a good chance that he will be a successful driver on the road. However, if the young man decides, you know what? What does he know? Right, I'm 17 years old. I know everything. Right, I don't need to do all that. That's probably a good chance he won't be a successful driver, and he won't be at peace with people on the road. And the exception is this: we know that every now and then, people get killed by drunk drivers. The exception. You can be wise. You can be following the rules. You can be doing everything possible in your ability, but yet still bad things happen to wise people. That's the exception. But just because there's an exception doesn't mean we throw out the whole book of Proverbs. We take the wisdom that's there and we apply it to our life, and more than likely, you will find the success that the book of Proverbs promises or tells us. So we're in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching. And so this part of Proverbs is some instruction from a father to his son. And so I thought, well, how appropriate it is, being that it's Father's Day, that we talk about instruction from a father to his son. As fathers, one of the greatest things that you can do is pour into your children godly wisdom. That's one of the greatest gifts you can give them. You can give them a car and you can give them different things. But one of the greatest things that you can give them is pouring into them godly wisdom, teaching them the ways of the Lord. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Verse 3 says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Now, interesting, in the King James Version, it uses the words mercy. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. One of the greatest lessons that we can learn in this life that we can pass on is that God's mercy and truth should govern our thoughts and our actions. God's mercy and his truth should govern our thoughts and our actions. What an important message this is for a young man to hear. Let God's mercy govern every action that you make. So what does that look like? Well, I had this fancy little bandage that I got from the Walmart for like $2.97, right? I was actually going to look for a real neck brace, you know, like the real ones. I couldn't find one, so I was like, well, this will do, and it's cheaper. And my wife would be so proud that I went the cheaper route. So we have mercy and we have truth. All right, then it says that we're to bind mercy and truth around our neck. So let me try to do this. I haven't practiced this. Let's see what happens. right, so I have mercy and I have truth bound around my neck. All right, so it is so close. Mercy is so close. Truth is so close to my neck that it's really restricting every move that I make. Or it really affects every direction of my life. And so, like, if I was to turn, if I want to see the people on this side, I really have to turn my whole body to see you guys. And so this brace right here is affecting the way that I act. It's affecting the way I move. It's affecting the way I speak. So he says, bind mercy and truth around your neck so that it affects you, so that you look at God's mercy and you say, God, you have been so good to me. You have been so merciful to me. And so what does that look like in your daily life? It's like, hey, perhaps you were wronged by someone. Perhaps you were wronged by a friend, by a relative. And because you have received the mercy of God in your life, this directs you to act in mercy towards them. That you ought to have the same mercy towards them as God had towards you. Now, this has been a tremendous help in my life. Because whenever I start to think, or if I start to act not out of mercy, but maybe out of, if before I even get angry, the Lord reminds me, Ted, you have been forgiven of a lot. Therefore, forgive. Therefore, walk in mercy. Walk in mercy. Let mercy and truth be bound around your neck so that it affects your every action. I'm going to take this off because I don't want to die. Amen. But we're going to let mercy, we're going to let truth, we're going to bind it around our neck. We're going to have it so close to us that it guards our every decision in our lives. And so what about truth? We talked a little bit about mercy and how God's been merciful to us. But what about truth? In a world that has no absolute truth, in a world that denies the truth of God's word, we are to have truth bound around our neck so close that it guards our decisions, it guards our actions, it guards the things that we say. Is it, what I say, is it aligned in the truth of God's word? You know, perhaps, you know, for you, you have some friends, and you know that every time you hang around these friends, that bad things just happen. You know, perhaps you get drunk, and you say things, and you get abusive, whatever it may be, and you're like, you know what? As a believer, as a Christian, you are to let truth be bound around your neck. So you say, in other words, it looks like this. I cannot hang out with you today because I know that if I put myself in that situation, then I'm going to be tempted to do things that I do not want to do. As a believer, I have to have truth bound around my neck so close that I do not want to offend a perfect and holy and righteous God. Truth is going to be the thing that directs me. Truth is going to be what I stand upon. You know, in a world that does not believe in truth. And one of the basic truths that this world does not believe, in Genesis 5, 1 through 2, it says, when God created man, he created him in the likeness of God. You were created in the image and likeness of God. That is a truth. Don't let the enemy tell you any different. Don't let the enemy say that you are not valuable. Don't let the enemy say that you're worthless. Or that you're good for nothing. You were created by God. You know, the science teachers and everything else, they would say, oh, you're the result of a cosmic accident. You're just a result of this Big Bang, or you evolved from a monkey, or whatever it may be, whatever lie that they are trying to push down your throat. But no, you were created by God. And you were created by God for a purpose. Let truth be around your neck. And let it be so close where it directs your step. What a great insight to pass on to your children. And if we were to continue in that verse, just to take it a step further, it says, male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. In a world where it seems to be a lot of confusion about gender, God clearly established a man and a female. He says, let there be a man, let there be a woman. And that is the relationship that he blessed. He didn't bless any other thing. And that's the absolute truth of God. That's God's truth. Are you going to let that bind you? Are you going to have that around your neck? Are you going to succumb to what the culture says? Are you going to succumb to what the devil says, basically? Because they're saying the same thing. They try to twist. The devil's always been in the process of twisting and perverting God's truth. The rainbow was never meant to be anything perverted, but it was meant to be a promise to God's people that I will never flood the earth again. That is God's truth. And whenever you think of the rainbow, you should think of God's truth. You should think of his promises, not anything else. Verse 5 says, trust. So the first thing that he passes on to his son, God's mercy and truth should govern your thoughts and actions. Young people, let God's truth govern your thoughts and your actions. Then he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And so notice he didn't say, trust in the Lord with all your mind. Why is that? Because in our mind, we try to figure out God. We try to put God in a box. We try to say, God can do this, and he cannot do this. God is this, and we try to limit God. And we try to analyze God. We try to come up with a formula to say, this is God. He says, no, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Now, I remember just recently just talking to a young man. He's wrestling. And I remember being in that age, you know, just wrestling, trying to figure out God, trying to figure out the science behind God, trying to figure out, you know, how the earth existed and all these different things. You know, you're going to spend a lifetime trying to understand God and trying to figure him out with your mind. And here's the simple truth. You will never figure out God. You will never say, I got it. I pinned God down. This is it. This is God. This is all that he can do. He is so much bigger than that. And our minds are so finite. And so, therefore, you cannot possibly understand all that there is to know about an infinite God who created the universe by speaking it into existence. Amen. That's power. That's power. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, in other scriptures, it talks about how the heart is wicked and that you should not trust your heart because it's deceitful. But a heart that has been changed by the power of God. See, your heart is where God is. Your heart is where God's, where you speak to God and God speaks to you. If that place has been affected by the presence of God, you can trust God. Not necessarily your own heart, but you can trust the God that is inside of your heart. You can trust that. You can say, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not into my own understanding. You know, there were several times in my life where I had to apply the scripture. One major one, whenever I lost my job, I was a 3D designer at North American. And so I lost my job. I loved my job. I loved it. Anybody love their job? You love going to work? You love what you do? Amen. Praise God for you. But I loved my job. I loved what I did. And whenever I got laid off, man, it hurt. It hurt. Because I thought I worked myself up to a place where I was pretty secure. And, you know, I was 10, 15 years experience in everything else. But, and so in the natural mind, for me, the natural step was to say, you know what, well, I need to go find another job doing the same thing that I'm doing, right, with a different company. I even had an offer, hey, man, you want to come work for me? I'm like, man, that sounds really good. That's what I really want to do. In my mind, that's what made sense. I had to go find another job. But in my heart, God was telling me something else. He's saying, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't try to figure me out, Ted. Don't try to figure out how you're going to make it. Don't try to figure out your current financial situation. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding. I have something better for you, and I need you to be focused. I need you to go full-time in the ministry. And as I begin to do that, the Lord added to me, and he gave me what I needed. And I can honestly say we have not lacked, you know, but it was hard for me. It was hard for me. My intellect, my mind says, I need to get back to work. I need to get back into the field that I was in. But the Lord said, no, I need you to go full time. I need you to give it all you got. At the time, we were renovating this place. And so I said, you know what, I'm just going to join myself to my father-in-law at the time. He was working here. I said, I'm just going to commit all of my time, you know, to the house of God. And the Lord provided. So we try to figure out God. You know, we try to make sure all of our steps are paved, that we know the very next step before we step out. But that's not faith. As you step out in faith, the Lord will reveal the next step. Amen. As you say, you know what, I'm going to step out right here. And the Lord is going to catch you right there. And he's going to show you the next step. Stepping out in faith requires faith. You know, like if I was to go out into the parking lot and go into my wife's car, I don't need faith for that. I can see the car. It's there. I can just simply take the key, open up the door, and pop right into that thing, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so this father is telling his son, look, you got to trust the Lord with your heart, even if it doesn't make sense with your mind. Trust him with your heart. Amen. So that's the second lesson that this father tells his son. Don't trust your intellect. Trust in the Lord. Don't try to figure out God. Don't try to figure out the path that he has for you and try to figure out all the ins and outs. Just take the step of faith. As long as you're trying to figure that out, you're not moving in faith. You're stagnant. But as you begin to take the next step, the Lord will make straight your paths, or he will make clear your paths. And so verse 7, I'm just going to read 7 through 10 and then focus on 11 and 12. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth. This is very important as well. You want to know the secrets to being successful with your money? Honor the Lord with your wealth, it says, and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with new wine. Verse 11 says, my son, do not despise the discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. So this particular wisdom, if you will, it's not necessarily easy to follow. How many guys just love being disciplined? I mean, you love being told that you are wrong. I mean, like in the ways that you are doing, it's just wrong and it's leading to destruction. You just love it and you thrive for it. You crave it. I just need some discipline in my life. No, nobody? Oh, man. Well, none of us, right? We don't really necessarily like discipline. We don't necessarily like being told that your ways are not the right ways and the things that you have been doing are not right. But if we know one thing about our Father, is that he is a loving Father. And whenever he disciplines us, he does so because he loves us. I remember growing up, I got my share of whippings, by the way. I wasn't so grateful at the time whenever I was getting the whippings, and my dad would always say, I'm doing this because I love you. I'm like, this doesn't feel like love. This feels like pain. You know, so it took me a while, you know, not until maybe my 20s, my mid-20s, and I start to realize, you know what? He did that because he loved me. Because if he wouldn't have whipped me, if he wouldn't have brought some correction into my life, perhaps I would have wound up in jail. Perhaps I would have wound up on drugs or wherever it may be. But he says, Ted, I love you this much. I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to bring the rod of correction over your life because you need it. And I did need it. You know, I needed it. Just put it that way. And I turned out fine. You know, I turned out okay. Now, I believe there's a balance, right? You don't go overboard with it, but I believe in discipline. I believe, and because he loved me enough to show me the ways of the Lord. He loved me enough to bring some correction into my life whenever I needed it. I remember I wanted to go work offshore, right after high school. He was like, no, you're not going to work offshore. I don't know what you're doing, but you're going to find something else. That was discipline in my life. And so you can either do one or two things with that. You can say, well, I accept and I submit to this discipline. I accept it for my life, and I believe that you have the best intentions for me. And the reason why he didn't want me to go offshore because he flew in the helicopters, and he flew with some crazy pilots who did some crazy things, and he had some close calls. And so he did it because he loved me. Whenever we are corrected by the Lord in whatever way it may be, whether it's through a parent, a teacher, a boss, a spouse, a friend, an enemy. However the Lord will bring about correction, hey, the Lord can use anything. He used a donkey to speak to Balaam to bring some correction to his life. And if a donkey spoke to me, I'm like, all right, Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want, God. You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Yep, that donkey starts speaking to me. Whatever you want, God. Amen. He might bring a donkey in your life to speak to you, to bring some correction. Amen. Or an alligator. We have alligators down here. We don't really have donkeys, but. But will you accept his correction as, I love you? Will you accept it as, I'm bringing this into your life not to tear you apart, not to destroy and take all the fun out of your life, but I'm bringing this discipline in your life because I love you. He sees the future. Amen. We are limited to what we see right now, but he sees the future, and he will bring about the necessary discipline in our lives to bring us from one place of glory to the next place of glory. From one place of following Christ to the next level of following Christ. So will we say, you know what? I trust that my Father, he loves me. And whenever he disciplines me, he does it out of love. Therefore, I will submit to his discipline. Amen. So three things that a father instructs his son as we end out this service. God's mercy and truth should govern our thoughts and our actions. Walk in mercy this week. How can you walk in mercy on your job? That person that just rubs you wrong every single time that you see them. Oh, you guys are acting holy. You guys act like you have nobody like that in your life. Like, you guys are just angels. I'm just speaking this to myself. Let me just go listen to the tape myself. You guys got it all together, right? But you know that one person that just rubs you the wrong way every single time that you see them. That you are to walk and you are to have God's mercy around your neck. And you are to say, God showed me mercy whenever I didn't deserve it. Let me show them mercy. Let me just show them love. Let me just love them the way that Christ loved me. Let me demonstrate the forgiveness towards them. Yes, they hurt me. Yes, I they were my friends, and they were supposed to have my back. They were my relatives, and they're supposed to be closer than blood, and they betrayed me. But I'm going to walk in mercy. I'm going to demonstrate mercy of God because God demonstrated mercy towards me. I'm going to have the truth of God's word around my neck. I don't care what culture says. I don't care what this world says. I'm going to rest in the truth of God's word. If God's word says it, that's what I want to apply to my life. Everything else I'm throwing out. But I want God's truth to be bound around my neck. I want to walk in truth. I want to walk in mercy. I'm not going to trust my intellect. You might be facing a situation right now, and God's asking you to step out in faith. He's asking you to stop analyzing it. Just trust me. Are you willing to do that this morning? Are you willing to say, God, I don't know how this is going to work out. And you can say that. You can say, God, I don't know all the details and how this is going to work, but I trust you. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to believe that you are able. It doesn't make sense in the natural mind, but God, you're not asking me for it to make sense in my natural mind. You're asking me to trust you with all of my heart and lean not upon my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him, and he's going to direct our paths. We're not going to trust in our intellect. We're going to trust in the Lord, and we're going to submit to God's loving discipline. Amen. Lord, we just come before you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, you've given us instruction for living. Lord, the best way, Lord, to live is to live for the Lord. The best way to have a successful life is to stand on your truth, to apply your truth to our lives. And so, Lord, today we accept your word. And we say yes to your word. We say yes, Lord, to the things that you are calling us to. We may not understand it, but Lord, we are trusting in you, Lord Jesus. We ask, God, that you would help us to have faith. Lord, for those of us who are struggling, for those who are just trying to analyze everything, God, that we would trust you with our heart. Trust you with our hearts, oh Lord. That we, in a world, Lord, where there's no truth, we would hang on to your truth. We honor you, Lord Jesus, and we accept your discipline that you would bring in our lives. because you're a loving Father. You're a loving Father. And perhaps you struggle with this idea of a loving Father because you haven't seen one. The Lord would say to you that He loves you with an unconditional love. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. He's not like our earthly fathers. He's a Father that can be trusted. You can trust Him with your heart. You can trust Him with your mind. You can trust Him with your good times. You can trust Him with your heartaches. You can trust Him with your heartbreaks. You can trust Him with everything. You can commit your ways unto the Lord. He's not going to destroy you. He wants to love you. He's not the God who's ready to strike you down with a stick, but He's the God that picks you up whenever you are down, whenever you are hurting, and He brings you back into Himself, and He loves you, and He wraps His arms around you, and He says, "You are my child, and I am your Father, and nothing will separate that." He loves you with an unconditional love. He loves you with an unconditional love. God, we just give you praise. Give you glory, give you honor. We ask, Lord, that you would seal this word in our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
May you go and walk in God's wisdom. In Jesus' name, have a wonderful Father's Day.